liver. What about radiation protection? That's the next batch. I want you to let these little fellows work on your liver. You come back here in 2 weeks, I'll set up a medical exam for you. If everything's working right, we'll go on to phase two and build up your cellular repair mechanisms. Grant asked, So what do? Drink this stuff? That's right. He unscrewed the vial's top and drank its contents in one long swig. Cardenas gave him a wry smile. Welcome to the club. Grant knew it was psychosomatic, but as he walked from Cardenas's nanotech lab to Cellini's main garage, he thought that the dull ache in the small of his back was lessening. They can't act that fast, he told himself, but he actually did feel better. Trudy was already in the garage's nearly empty waiting room, looking like an anxious little waif in her plain tan coveralls. There were three other people, two men and one woman, also waiting for the tour bus to return. Been here long? He asked Trudy. Less than 2 minutes, she replied, gazing through the window that looked out on the busy, clanging garage. Buses and tractors were parked in rows while maintenance crews worked on them. Beyond that stood the big, dulled metal hatch of the huge airlock. Grant was about to say that Palmquist was late when the airlock hatch swung inward and the bus rolled through, a gleaming silver cylinder on spindly little wheels, its lower flanks coated with gray lunar dust. The passengers got out of the bus and filed into the waiting room. Grant easily recognized Dr. Palmquist, ghostly pale, wearing a business suit of soft pastel blue, walking very carefully in the unaccustomedly light gravity. He entered the waiting room and looked around uncertainly. Dr. Palmquist, said Grant, going up to him and extending his hand. I'm Grant Simpson. Ah, the fellow who called me on the phone, said Palmquist in his soft voice. And this is Dr. Yost, Professor Ulrich's assistant, Grant finished. Trudy took Palmquist's hand. I'm very pleased to meet you, sir. Professor Ulrich is so looking forward to your visit to the Farside Observatory. So am I, my dear, said Dr. Palmquist. As Grant walked them out of the garage area and down the corridor that led to the cafeteria, Palmquist asked Trudy, You are an astronomer? Yes, I am. Are you? Palmquist shook his head self-effacingly. No, I am an economist. But certain acquaintances of mine asked me to look in on Professor Ulrich while I was here visiting Cellini University's economics faculty. I see, Trudy replied. The Nobel Committee, Grant thought. Those were Palmquist's acquaintances. As they walked to the cafeteria, Grant thought about the afternoon's agenda. He knew that Ulrich had laid on a special flight back to Farside at 1800 hours. Not enough time to ask Trudy to have dinner with me, he told himself. We'll do this silly tea business with the Swede and then head back to Farside. Maybe Trudy and I can have dinner there after we drop Palmquist off with the ulcer. But all through their brief repast in Cellini's noisy, bustling cafeteria, Palmquist spoke only to Trudy, ignoring Grant as if he weren't there. Grant never got the opportunity to ask her about dinner. Return to Farside. Ulrich was practically quivering with anticipation in the tiny reception area of Farside's one-pad spaceport when the lobber landed. McClintock stood beside him, much cooler. Dr. Palmquist, Ulrich gushed as the Swede stepped through the access tube's hatch. How kind of you to visit our facility. Palmquist smiled genially. I look forward to seeing the work you are doing, Professor Ulrich. As Grant walked with Trudy and the other three men along the corridor to Ulrich's office, he was amused to see the ulcer fawning all over the Swede. But when they reached his office door, Ulrich turned to Grant and said, Thank you for escorting Dr. Palmquist here, Mr. Simpson. You can return to your regular duties now. Then the rest of them went into the office. Trudy glanced over her shoulder at Grant, looking surprised and concerned, but Ulrich slid the door shut, leaving him standing alone in the empty corridor. Nodding to himself, Grant thought, Right. I'll get back to work while you try to impress Palmquist. I'll build what you need built, and you work on getting your fucking Nobel. Feeling justifiably resentful, Grant headed toward the teleoperations center, which was where he did most of his work. There and in his one-room quarters, Ulrich had not assigned him a private office of his own. The teleoperations center was dim, shadowy, the only light in the chamber coming from the display screens of the consoles set against the far wall. A soft Cuban samba was purring from the overhead speakers. Josie Rivera was at one of the consoles with narrow-eyed Nate Oberman sitting beside her. "What's he doing here?" Grant asked silently, bristling at Oberman's presence. "He's not on the tech staff anymore. We're carrying him in administration until his contract's up." What annoyed Grant most about Oberman was the guy's snotty attitude. Nate could always get under Grant's skin with just a few pointed barbs. Back in his roid rage days, Grant would have pounded Oberman's face in. "I would have sent him to the hospital," Grant thought, "or to the morgue." Dr. Capstein was feeding Grant extra medications to control his steroid-induced fury, but nonetheless he had tried to keep as much distance from Oberman as possible. So it was only natural that when Ulrich fired him, Oberman concluded that Grant had been angling for his job. "What are you doing here, Nate?" he asked, trying to make his tone casual, non-combative. "Just visiting," Oberman replied easily. "Got nothing much else to do." Turning to Rivera, Grant asked, "What's up, Josie?" as he slid the corridor door shut. Rivera swiveled her chair toward him and gave Grant a flashing smile. "Nothing much, boss," she said. "It's been pretty quiet around here lately." "How'd your joyride to Cellini go?" Oberman asked. Trying to ignore his snide tone, Grant replied, "I did what McClintock wanted. Picked up this Swedish guy and brought him to Ulrich. No sweat." "You and Trudy Yost," said Josie Rivera. "Yeah, that's right." "Must be nice, taking a day off with a good-looking chick," Oberman said. Before Grant could bristle, Rivera quickly asked, "Anything between you two?" Grant felt astounded. "Between? What are you talking about?" With a knowing look, Rivera said, "Boy meets girl. It happens all the time." "Come on, Josie," Grant sputtered. Oberman asked Rivera, "He ever come on to you, Josie?" She shook her head, turning down the corners of her mouth in mock regret. "Maybe he's gay," said Oberman with a malicious smirk. "I could straighten him out, I bet," said Rivera. Grant remembered that he'd been attracted to Josie Rivera, with her friendly ways and generous figure. But he had made the decision not to get involved with any of the women at Farside. The place was too small, too inbred. A serious relationship, even a non-serious fling, could cause emotional fracture lines among the staff. Better to stay celibate, or go over to Cellini for fun and games, Grant reminded himself. But it had been a long time since he'd had any fun and games. He didn't know how to handle their bantering, so he decided to ignore it. "Now look, we've got a lot of serious work ahead of us." But Oberman wouldn't quit. "Work on who?" Grant gave him a withering look. "When's your contract up, Nate? It can't be soon enough." Josie said, "Now, boys." But Oberman pointed a skinny finger at Grant and replied, "I'm leaving at the end of the month, and I'm getting a position in the IAA office at Cellini. What do you think of that?" "Good," said Grant, thinking, "any place but here." "Anita Halleck herself recommended me," Oberman added, sneering. "And I thought she was supposed to be smart," Grant said. "You think you're better than me, don't you?" Oberman growled. For the first time since Dr. Capstein had started controlling his steroid dosage, Grant felt the urge to start punching. But he fought it down. "Forget it. We've got work to do." Work agenda. "Serious work?" Josie asked, her teasing grin fading away. Pulling up one of the little wheeled chairs from the next console, Grant said, "We've got to lay out roads between here and Korolev and Gagarin." "And improve the road to Mendeleev?" Rivera asked. "No, that won't be necessary," said Grant. Oberman huffed. "Hell, you couldn't even get that mirror over the ring wall." Again, Grant fought the urge to smack the nasty little snot. Keeping his voice even, he told them, "We won't be transporting mirrors. We'll be hauling construction materials in regular tractors. No need to tow big mirror rigs."
"The mirrors are going to be built at the craters, then?" Rivera asked.
"Right," Grant replied. "By nanomachines." Oberman whistled softly. "So you'll be hauling nanobugs out to the three craters?" Grant nodded.
It'll be easy to get the loads over the Ringwall Mountains and onto the sites for the telescopes. Then he added, Nanos are